activities. But I just want to just leave one thought in your mind on this. We like to call it Resurrection Sunday. I know we know it's, we say Easter Sunday, but I like Resurrection Sunday, Resurrection Day, because I think it really, I think when you say resurrection, you really keep the main thing the main thing. Amen. You know, and that's really what it's about. I know we're going to be giving out some Easter baskets and candy and some healthy ones and unhealthy ones, and, you know, please don't nobody take my bag. I want the unhealthy. No, but we're going to be doing some things today. We have dinner at the church. But I just wanted to just make sure that we remember why we celebrate this day and why it's so important. So I'm going to just shorten my message by 50%. I'm just going to give you just a couple scriptures rather than everything I have planned. But one I want to give you that I think is exciting, and that is when the ladies went to the tomb to wash the body of Jesus on the third day. Now, I read this book that said several passages in different books that talked about all the prophecies that led up to Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Some authors say there were around 200. Some say there were nearly 400 prophecies. Everyone and their brother should have known that Jesus was going to be crucified, be in the grave for 3 days. And please, guys, don't trip over the fact that it wasn't 72 hours. I know people say, well, how can you get 3 days between Friday and Sunday morning? Don't worry about that. The math is unimportant right here. The fact that he died, he was buried, and he rose again, right? Amen. Amen. That's really the important thing. So there's all these prophecies about Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection that all observing Jews should have known. Some knew, they dismissed it. Some maybe got it. Some maybe never heard of it. But there was really no excuse. So on the third day, according to John chapter 20, verse 15, these women came to wash the body of Jesus, which was a ritual, which was necessary as part of the Judaistic process. It was part of their plan to handle the body properly and to treat Jesus with honor and respect. So they show up at the grave, and Jesus says to one of the women, there were about three, some passages might suggest there were four women, but he says to her so sweetly, I believe, I'm interpreting this, the WHR translation. He said to her, why are you weeping? Who are you seeking? Why are you weeping? Who are you seeking? So I sat down at the piano and I actually wrote a little song to that. I'm not going to sing it. Only in my basement. But I wrote a little melody to that because I thought that is so, number one, it rhymes, you know, kind of, sort of, you know, a rapper could get away with it. Why are you weeping? Who are you seeking? And I think the reason those questions are so profound is because there shouldn't have been any tears on that day. There shouldn't have been any confusion on that day. So I documented what I think were some of the emotions that day. I wrote down about 7 emotions that were going on, possibly. I said there was confusion, there was doubting, there was weeping, there was seeking, there was sadness, there was fear, there was despair. All these emotions are going on in the first century about Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And then I thought about it. And I said, wait a minute, all of these emotions are going on in the 21st century. We're still confused. We're still doubting. We still don't really know for sure what we feel about Jesus and how we handle this thing called the resurrection. So then fast forward to Matthew chapter 27, and there's a little nugget there that should be encouraging for all of us. We're going to put it up on the screen. Matthew 27. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. And this is my sort of parting thought for Resurrection Sunday 2025. Hopefully, it'll be a source of inspiration to you, carry you until next Resurrection Day. Here's what happened in verse 20 and verse 45 of Matthew 27. It should be on the screen. It says, at noon, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. So we have these time brackets. We have these sort of bookends. We think that Jesus was hung on the cross, according to Roman practice, around 9 a.m. on this Friday morning. And we know at 3 o'clock is when he gave up the ghost. 3 o'clock is when he died. So he was approximately on the cross for about 6 hours. Actually, I mentioned this in Sunday school. Max Lucado wrote an excellent book. You should grab it. I saw that Amazon in your used section for $2.34. It's called 6 Hours One Friday by Max Lucado. And he documents the emotions and the happenings of that six-hour period. To the extent that we can document it. And it's an excellent book. There's several things about the death of Jesus that you can find. Jim Bishop wrote a book entitled The Day Christ Died, where he goes through all the medical issues about Jesus' death. There's some questions came up in this Wednesday's Bible study. Coach did an excellent job. Coach has been teaching us on Wednesday the passion, leading up to the passion of Christ. And we've been going through the various events from going up to the Passover. We talked about the Lord's Supper. We talked about Palm Sunday. We talked about Jesus' persecution and the whippings and the disgrace that he went through leading up to the crucifixion. But on this Friday afternoon, at around 3 o'clock p.m., this something really amazing happened that I think gets lost in the shuffle. So I hope to bring a little bit of light to it in these verses. Watch this. I just read verse 45. Verse 46 says, at about 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. Actually, it's Aramaic, although we have sort of a Hebrew interpretation of it. I've heard it pronounced. I went to this site. I was thinking about Coach. I went to this site online. It's called howtopronounce.com. So if you ever have a word that you're struggling to pronounce, actually, there are several of these sites. How to pronounce a word. So Rod preached on this Friday night at the church that he was at, how to pronounce this word, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. And the Aramaic is actually pronounced Eloi, Eloi. The Hebrew is pronounced Eli, Eli. They thought he was calling out to Eli or Elijah the prophet. How confused. Actually, the passage even says some of the bystanders misunderstood and thought he was calling for the prophet Elijah. How much stuff have we misunderstood? I wonder how many things do we get wrong? How many wrong impressions do we have in 2025? Stuff that Jesus said that we still don't really believe or don't follow. Actually, I started to make that really the sermon title. You know, how much of what Jesus said do we not know or not believe or misunderstand today? Thought it was too long, so I just called it Problems and Solutions. But that would have been a great title because we get so much stuff wrong. And these people were wrong about what Jesus was saying. They were wrong about what he was doing. But most importantly, they were wrong about their understanding of his death, burial, and resurrection. The Jews didn't kill Jesus. The Romans didn't kill Jesus. Regular Gentiles didn't kill Jesus. He laid down his life voluntarily. There were so many ways he could have avoided being arrested. There were so many ways he could have avoided being crucified. Just the most humiliating, excruciatingly painful, shameful way anyone could die. I mentioned it earlier. The Romans didn't invent crucifixion, but they sure perfected it so they could extract the most amount of pain for the longest amount of time, inflicting the most injury to the human body. And Jesus chose that form of death. I mean, he was going to die for our sins. We knew that. He prophesied it in Genesis 3:15. He could have chosen a plethora of ways to die, like maybe just something quick, like drinking some poison, quick, painless, and you're out. chose this form of death. And the Bible says, one of them ran and filled a sponge with sour wine and holding it up to his mouth, sort of an antiseptic, just something sort of numb the pain, you know, just kind of like using some anesthesia to get him a little bit of relief. And they put it on a stick and put it up to him to drink. But the rest said, wait, let's see if Elijah comes to save him. I'm in verse 49. Verse 50 says, then Jesus shouted, I'm in verse 50. Then Jesus shouted out again and released his spirit. Now, here's the interesting part of what I wanted to share with you. At that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split apart. This was just no ordinary earthquake, ladies and gentlemen. So I got on my trusty computer again and started looking at earthquakes, typical Richter scale. Well, they don't use the Richter scale anymore, but magnitude of earthquakes, 5, 6, 7, 8, and some of the things that happened to the earth. You have to have a really strong earthquake for rocks to split. We're talking rocks splitting in half. When Jesus died, he shook the world. He, no pun intended, he rocked the world. And the Bible says, at that moment in verse 52, the tombs opened, the bodies of many godly men and women who had died were raised from the dead. That's the part that gets lost. When Jesus died, when Jesus got up, some other people got up too. Now you say, well, Pastor Will, what's the point? That's, you know, a big deal. So there was some people that resurrected. I mean, back in John 11, Lazarus was resurrected. The son of the widow of Nain was resurrected. There were other resurrections in the Old Testament. The body that was dropped on Elisha's body with an S in Kings, that person was resurrected. We didn't even get a name. Why was this so important? I'll tell you why I think it was important. Because I think the resurrection of these people that got up. And by the way, it was sort of a two-part resurrection. If you look at the text closely, first of all, when he died, the tombs opened. But the Bible says they didn't come out until after Jesus came out. Because Jesus had to what? The Bible says he had to be the first fruits of those. 1 Corinthians 15:20 says he was the first fruits of all of those who were asleep. So listen, Jesus dies, an earthquake happens, tombs open, and 3 days later, Jesus walks out, and several people, I'm willing to say hundreds, hey, why not shoot for the sky? Maybe thousands, people got up, and just so that people wouldn't think it was a hoax, Lord had those people that were resurrected go into Jerusalem and connect with their friends and family and show that they have been resurrected too. So the Bible says, let me just read it to you. It says that the bodies of the godly men and women who died were raised from the dead. And the Bible says they left the cemetery after Jesus' resurrection. And they went into the holy city of Jerusalem and appeared to many people. I'll tell you why I think it's powerful, Rod. Because I think, ladies and gentlemen, that the Lord on Resurrection Day, the day that we're celebrating today, the day that we're commemorating, gave up a preview, a movie trailer, a teaser of what's going to happen with We Are Believers. Amen. 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 Good things are coming. Death is not final. Death is not permanent. This is not how the story ends. This is not our fate. This is not all there is to it. God has plans for us that have eternity in view. God has plans for us that means we will live again. God has plans for us that we will rise again. And just to show us, he gave us this down payment 2,000 years ago and brought up people. The Lord said in his word in closing, he said in Thessalonians, because he gave us this little preview here in Matthew, he said in Thessalonians chapter 4 that first the Christians who have died will rise from their graves. That's 1 Thessalonians 4:16. In 1 Corinthians 15, he also said that in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown, that those who have died in Christ will rise to live forever. One slight little difference before I take my seat, and that is the people possibly in AD 33 that got up, Lazarus who got up, the soldier back in Kings who got up when he fell into the shallow grave of Elisha, the son of the widow of Nain, the other ones that were brought from the dead, the Shunammite woman that Elijah, by the help of the Holy Spirit, brought back to life. All of those people that were resurrected in the Old Testament and the New Testament, they all died again. Not us. When we get up, the Bible says, we don't know what we shall be, but we shall be like him, for we shall be changed, for we shall see him as he is. And this physical mortal body will put on immortality, and we will be changed. Woo! The change will be permanent. Our bodies will be glorified. I love that body that Jesus had when he got out of the grave. Check it out. Things just changed for Jesus. When he got up, prior to his death, he was still God incarnate doing certain things. But after his death, I mean, he just started walking through walls. He's in Jerusalem. He's showing up in Capernaum. He's in Galilee. Now he's over here in Bethlehem. He's just moving around, showing up at the shore, making fish sandwiches without even having gone fishing. That's what I'm talking about. That's the body I want. Amen. Forget about pumping iron and doing exercises and dieting, eating tofu and kale. I forget all that stuff. I'm talking about having a real body. A real body that doesn't decay. What a mighty God we serve. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for Resurrection Sunday morning. Thank you for this time together. Thank you, Lord, for your word. May we not be like the bystanders on Resurrection Day who misunderstood, who didn't get the point, who were confused, who were emotionally drained, and didn't get what you were doing for them and for us. May we be enlightened. May we hear your word. May we love your word. May we learn your word. And may we live your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. May you be glorified this day. And may your people be edified in Jesus' name. And the church of the Lord said, amen, 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 amen.